This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
To the 37. Stafford surveying. Straight drop. Fires. Caught. Cut. Stafford. Caught. On the run. Cut. Who else? Comes out of the slot to the right. Looks that way. Fires that way. Cut makes the grab at about the 18-yard line. Pass. Touchdown.
Al, I've got to tell you, in a pressure situation, I don't know if I have ever seen anybody be better than Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. They had no choice.
Boy, I so agree. It was about Kupp, who ended up being the MVP. It's in the books. Did you watch the Super Bowl as the Rams beat the Bengals 23-20? Hey, everybody, on a crazy weekend that will roll into a Valentine's Day. Lots of love for you. Thanks so much for listening to the show. I'm Kate Delaney. We roll out the red carpet, or sort of a little pink carpet, for Valentine's Day, whether you're a first-timer or you've been here a long time. So this was a game that was much anticipated, and boy, the odds makers had it right on the nose. The Rams were favored to win this by, it opened up at 4.5, then it was down to 3.5, but the Rams did take it in the end, and Kupp with the Super Bowl and really a triple crown season. And part of the story was Matt Stafford having to rally back, especially after wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., who's playing really well, was out with a knee injury on a non-contact play with just under 4 minutes remaining in the second quarter of Super Bowl 56 against the Bengals. Didn't come back, and that was crippling, really, to the Rams' offense because they struggled after they lost him. But ultimately, the winning drive, fourth quarter, and it was Los Angeles's to take. And what a journey it was for the Rams. You figure all the big draft choices, if you don't know the story, they gave up to get Stafford, who was languishing with the Detroit Lions for 12 years. So he really was who they wanted to bring in. They bring him in, and sure enough, they win the Super Bowl. And Beckham, who was signed by the Rams after being released by the Browns mid-season, they basically said, here's the door. So the door ended up being in Los Angeles, and he had a couple of big catches for 52 yards, and he scored the first touchdown when he beat Bengal Mike Hilton in the right corner of the end zone for a 17-yard score. So it almost was like it was supposed to happen, not the injury, but the fact that he did score and he did make an impact in the game that he ultimately was knocked out of. But the key thing here is the Super Bowl is in the books. No more football. This is kind of a depression time for a lot of us who are football fans. But we'll have more details on that game and also the Olympics in the man cave at the tail end of this hour, because we do have good news. The United States with a lot of gold medals. Some big moments happened in the last couple of days. Now in third in the medal standings with 15 total, seven of them gold. Wow. In the meantime, as the world beats on in different directions, one of the key things that we were talking about was the key bridge last week, and the fact that you had that U.S.-Canada border crossing that was closed down after a 6-day blockade by the Freedom Convoy protesters. So this Ambassador Bridge is a big key supply route between our country and Canada. And because of that, it was affecting jobs in the U.S. in the auto industry. So it disrupted the supply chains in the U.S. and millions of dollars in trade. It's now fully open for the flow of commerce between Canada, of course, and the U.S. But what a protest that was. The Canadians, I think, were caught flat-footed and didn't know how to handle it. I mean, you had a convoy of truck drivers opposed to vaccine mandates that just parked by Parliament on January 28th, and it started this huge global movement of people that are sick of the pandemic policies, furious with their governments, and in some cases doing things that they felt like they had to do to make their voices heard, and this was one of the things. So there was demonstrations from New Zealand to France, and they've adopted some of those tactics and some of the slogans even of the Canadian convoy. So their voice was heard around the world. The police trying to disrupt what was happening with the convoys, it was tough. Finally, they said zero tolerance, and they were arresting truck drivers and saying that, you know, you could get $100,000 in fines. So there were these threats of fines and prison time and the loss of their licenses and whatnot. And in Ottawa, the protesters just remained. You know, they just said, well, okay, we're going to do it. So police trying to contain protests, trying to minimize whatever harm could happen to their force. They're saying it didn't work, where the organizers have the objective of being disruptive to the Canadian government and economy until their demands are met. So very interesting looking at the convoys and looking at the reactions to it. I mean, on Sunday, Ottawa's mayor, Jim Watson, said he had a tentative agreement with a key protest organizer to remove trucks from some of those residential areas and to limit some of the others to a perimeter near Parliament in exchange for a meeting. So they're working over the next 24 hours to get the buy-in from the truckers. And this, again, involves what has happened to the supply chain, etc., and commerce that goes and flows between the Canadians and the United States. And of course, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, is under massive criticism for not mobilizing more federal resources to help Ottawa, because their government and their police force was completely overwhelmed. So the closing of the borders, the targeting of infrastructure, points of entry behind the protests is significant. And they didn't do, I think, initially what they probably should have done to alleviate that. And as much as you can denounce what was happening and what was saying, this is harmful, etc., you know, you had car manufacturers like Toyota and Ford, some people listening to the show because you've sent me emails, that had reduced pay because they weren't working. So there was reduced operations in the last couple of days. They didn't have the delivery of some of the necessary manufacturing parts that they needed, right? So two different areas we're talking about and two different results as of this moment. Coming up this hour and coming up next, we're going to take a look at the Olympics and then plus other headers that I think tripped our triggers over the weekend. That's what this show is all about, what's buzzing in your backyard and mine. And as I said before, the man cave.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
So many of the American athletes for what they've been able to do, because boy, was it looking bleak in the beginning of the games, wasn't it? But I kept saying, look, it's some of the bigger events with our bigger stars are coming up, but still there were results that were unexpected, and I'll tell you one of them that was unexpected, and she's just terrific, and I could not be more thrilled for Erin Jackson, who won just a brilliant gold in the women's 500-meter speed skating at the Olympics on Sunday. She became the first black woman to ever medal in the sport. She was asked about that. She said, hopefully, you know, we'll see more minorities, especially in the U.S., getting out and trying these types of winter sports. 5 years ago, she didn't even speed skate. She would never have done it at all. But she was incredible. Her time, 26.71 seconds. It took her ahead of the early leader. It was just a remarkable performance. She is the first American woman, too, to medal in the 500 since Bonnie Blair won her third straight gold in 1992. And she's the first speed skating Olympic gold medalist since Shawnee Davis won the men's 1000 at Vancouver 2010. So how about that? So again, this was an amazing, amazing performance. And she even said, I wish I could describe how I feel. It is amazing. And this medal means so much. It's been a tough couple of years and a tough beginning for the year because it didn't look like she was going to be at the Olympics at all. And, in the Olympic trials, there was an error, and it saw her finish third in the heats with only two spaces left. She was going to miss out. But the winner, Brittany Bowe, forfeited. This is like an incredible friend. They're both from Ocala, Florida. Brittany Bowe forfeited her place in the 500 to allow Jackson to compete. And she said, I'll be grateful to her forever. Jackson came into the Olympics having won 4 of 8 500 races on the World Cup circuit, along with a second and third place finish. How about that? You know, again, amazing. Bo will hope to medal in both the 1,000 and the 1,500, who hoped to finish 16th. So it's interesting, again, the sacrifice of a teammate, knowing she was going into other heats and giving that spot up to her and then seeing what, you know, ultimately happened. All right, there's a really cool thing that's been going on in the Olympics. It's called Mono Bob. It's where you do the sledding by yourself. And you're in it's like 300 plus pounds, 325 pounds or so. I'll call it a machine sled that you push off into and jump into and steer and control. And this has been fun to watch, this Mono Bob sled. And we had, this time around, we, meaning the United States, had Kaylee Humphreys, who won her third Olympic medal. Only she used to race for the Canadians, but she instead is on Team USA. And Alana Myers Taylor, who moved up two spots from the other day to earn silver. So they both have won a medal in 4 straight Olympics. 4 straight Olympics. That is huge. The U.S. women 1 and 2 for the first ever Mono Bob event. And Humphreys dominated. You know, she led by 1.54 seconds by the end. And Myers Taylor, who was in fourth, like I said, after her first two runs, made up the time in the third and fourth runs to finish ahead and get the silver. What a historic run for both of them. Interesting story about Humphreys. She left Canada for the U.S. due to a divisive separation from Bobsled Canada after she accused her former coach of mental and emotional harassment. She was part of Bobsled Canada for 16 years, represented Canada in 3 Olympics. Vancouver, Sochi, Pyeongchang, won 2 golds, 1 bronze. And with this gold medal, she became the first American to win a gold for both countries, U.S. and Canada, at the Winter Olympics. And so for Myers Taylor, she had a tough journey, too. She tested positive for COVID when she arrived. She couldn't walk as a flag bearer in the opening ceremony because she's supposed to be. She was isolated for a week and produced 2 negative tests right before training for Mono Bob and the 2-woman bobsled events, you know, that began. So there you go. And then you have the crazy because it's wild to watch it and try to figure it out, but ice dancing, I mean, which is beautiful that you've got these pairs skating in this synchronized way, but you had Maddie Hubble and Zach Donahue, who are not going to, you know, this is the end of their career. And they ended their Olympic career, Americans, with a bronze medal after a fantastic free dance performance. So watching the Olympics is like an education for me, too, because I got to admit, winter sports aren't my best. I mean, there are some that I know, but there are plenty, like hockey. I grew up in a hockey family, but and certainly speed skating and some others. But following along and following the stories, I think, is the key thing. It's about the stories. It's about the athletes. And ultimately, in looking at the medal count, thank goodness we're seeing that number pop up for many, many, many Americans who are just really fun. That's it. It's the stories. Really, really fun to watch. And then to hear how they got there and to learn more about what it was that, you know, put them in that position and, you know, what the trials were like and how they got there and just everything connected to those stories, I guess, is to me the key thing that makes it so fascinating with any of these sports, right? It's the road to how they got there, ultimately. And we have another week of the Olympics, and there are other sports that are happening where we have some Americans who are quite capable of medaling, so we'll see what they do in the end when, by the time we get to the closing games, and how many more medals will the U.S. have, and what will the closing of this whole thing look like? Because certainly not without controversy, but I think the thing is the ratings have not been there. So during the Super Bowl, because NBC paid tons of money for for the rights to the Olympics, they really pushed the Olympics. They even had Jennifer Lopez in a promo spot talking about she was, you know, going for the gold that afterwards, right after the game, there were going to be finals and to watch the Olympics. And there were other spots like that as far as pushing the Olympics. And it was smart because it's the quest to try to get people to stay on and watch where they didn't have to watch that long to see events where there were some American medals. And I think it's the timing and the fact that it's winter sports. I've said this before now a couple of times, where people aren't quite as glued into that as much as they would be in summer games, or with the time zone where it was similar to our own, where you're not talking about the middle of the night and then you go back looking for results. You're watching whatever's happening live and you're understanding what's happening. That's also a very, 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 very big part of what I believe has happened to the Olympics and why even the opening ceremonies just really, really rated so low over past Olympic games. All right, coming up, a little of this, a little of that, and then, of course, like I said, the man cave to close out the hour, more on what happened at the Super Bowl. You know, there's a lot of conversation about the halftime show, and what did you think of the halftime show? And I would say I give it a thumbs up. You know, it depends. Honestly, it depends on your age. I think your age group. It depends on the kind of music you like. I mean, look, you had Snoop Dogg, you had Dr. Dre, you had Eminem, you had, you know, the queen of R&B. I loved seeing her in concert, Mary J. Blige. You had rap star Kendrick Lamar. I think the way they choreographed this together was like you expect from a halftime show. Then you had a surprise guest. 50 Cent showed up, and he was good. I think it was from end to end, it was a very solid halftime show. But not everybody agrees with me on that, as I've been looking at some of the social media, and it's some of it is massive thumbs up, and some of it is thumbs down. I liked it. I say excellent, excellent, excellent. Meet you on the flip side.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Some airlines have canceled or diverted flights to Ukraine as the West mourns that an invasion by Russia is imminent, despite intensive weekend talks between Moscow and Washington. President Biden spent an hour on the phone talking to Russian President Vladimir Putin, telling him an invasion would cause widespread human suffering, and says the West is committed to diplomacy to end the crisis, but is equally prepared for other scenarios. Russia denies plans on invading Ukraine, but has well more than 100,000 troops near its border. U.S. officials say Russia can enter the country at any moment. Meantime, Dutch airline KLM has canceled flights to Ukraine until further notice. French President Emmanuel Macron is in full re-election campaign mode, despite not declaring his candidacy for the upcoming election in April. He has until March 4th to do so. This is USA Radio News. Americans have been seeking religious exemptions from COVID vaccine mandates by the thousands, but they're doing so without the backing of major denominations or leaders. That includes rabbis, Pope Francis in the Catholic Church, and conservative evangelical leader Robert Jeffress, who wrote in an email to the Associated Press that strong medical and political objections to the mandates does not get elevated to a religious belief that should be accommodated. Much of the country is about to get another winter blast.
Forecasters say New Mexico to Colorado and into northern Illinois and Wisconsin will be on the west side of the storm, so they'll be getting the snow, the rain and thunderstorm activity likely from Houston to the Ohio and Tennessee valleys. Travelers across the region expect changing weather conditions by Wednesday with also very strong winds and a possibility of flooding. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You are listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Happen in the air. It's been crazy the last couple of years with the pandemic. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney once again. Don't forget about Valentine's Day, whether you have a significant other or not. Hopefully you get some Valentine's, even a card. Remember when we were kids, you used to get those, like, little paperish kind of Valentine's? That was a big deal in school. You had to bring Valentine's for everyone in the class. I remember this. Yeah, you could not bring just a few. You had to bring for everyone in the class. So I remember my mother and I would have the list, and we would, like, individually go and put out the little cards, and I would put them out. And everybody got a card. So you had, like, 30 Valentine's cards, and you got those little hearts, those candy hearts. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was a good thing because that meant including everybody. All right, this certainly is not about including everybody. It's about screwing up everybody's plans. I do have to give a shout out to the wonderful people in Iowa once again. My trip on American back to Dallas was wonderful, no problems. A little mechanical error, so it was delayed a little bit, but that's it. And then to there, of course, was no problem. And the West Des Moines Chamber of Commerce, I was so honored to speak at their annual dinner. Just wonderful, wonderful people, and the things that they're doing there, absolutely amazing, and how they engage people in their community and the way that they help each other and lift each other up. I was so, so impressed with those people. So shout out to all of you. I have wonderful feelings about Iowa, and I have a feeling I'll be back. An American Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. had to make an emergency landing in Kansas City. Why on Sunday, you ask? Because of an unruly passenger displaying what they call erratic behavior. So this is what the passenger did, tried to enter the cockpit before attempting to open an exit door. the FBI put out that statement, and they had to divert it. So the passenger was subdued by the crew with the help of other passengers. So when you're a passenger, you may have to help subdue some nut on the plane. I mean, that's just this, being honest. That's what it is. We know that, right? The plane landed safely at Kansas City's airport, thank goodness. And then, of course, the law enforcement was there. They met the flight. And after the whole report of the disturbance on board, the FBI took the passenger into custody. Do you know the FAA has gotten 6,000 reports of unruly passenger behavior? Last year, that was. 4,200 of them were mask-related. This year, because remember, we're still pretty early in the year, I think, of 2022. This year, there have been 394 unruly passenger reports and 255 mask-related incidents. That's as of just last week, reported to the FAA. People, don't get on the plane. However you feel about masks, it doesn't matter. This is what the deal is. They say it constantly, and they're going to tell you to get off the plane. Why do you wait till it's in the air to scream, kick, protest, ruin everybody else's flight, scare everybody else probably on the flight, make people have to make a decision like, oh, am I going to have to subdue this person who is trying to jump out of the plane and may end up who knows what for the rest of us on this plane? But there you go. I mean, this is it. And there's a debate as to whether or not unruly passengers, so if you're an unruly passenger and do something like that, should you be put on a no-fly list for life? Like, you can never, ever get on a flight again. Had too much to drink, decide you're going to be unruly. Oops, it was a mistake. I'm sorry. Now I'm sober. No, there's really serious discussions about making that the ultimate penalty, right? Not just barring from one flight, one airline, but for all of them. You're just done. And so the Transportation Secretary is Pete Buttigieg. He says they're exploring it. I think we need to take a look at it because the airlines are often doing their own internal no-fly list, so they do have that. But maybe there's a coordination thing, and maybe you put it across the board. So now that becomes a thing. And can you imagine if you could never step on a commercial flight again in your life and you just screwed up, you just lost your mind, had a few drinks, had nothing to eat, decided you were going to get up and try to open the emergency door, which I just don't get. I would say the same thing over and over again. You don't want to fly, you drive. I know a lot of people who don't want to fly. They drive. So you just drive. You don't have to deal with that. And I think it's on purpose. Of course it's on purpose. And it's ridiculous, just absolutely ridiculous. All right, I have to bring this up at the top because I was a Ghostbuster fan. I mean, now they've made so many different Ghostbusters, and we could argue back and forth about are any of the new Ghostbuster films that we've seen in the last couple of years any good? Do they live up to the original? Well, no, none of them live up to the original. But Ivan Reitman, who was the filmmaker and producer behind Ghostbusters, and, of course, Animal House, too, has died. He was 75 years old. His family said, look, he died peacefully on Saturday night at his home in Montecito, California. And he really was this guy who had seen a bunch of interviews with him, who loved what he did, who loved some of the crazy comedies that he was a part of. Animal House was one of his big breaks. He produced that. And then he directed Bill Murray in a couple of different movies. Like, if you haven't seen Stripes, watch Stripes. I think it holds up. It's funny. I like the deadpan humor of Bill Murray. But Ghostbusters, you have to go all the way back to 1984 for that. And that is a movie that grossed almost $300 million worldwide. A couple of Oscar nominations, and there's been so many spin-offs, television shows, a new movie that's out now, Ghostbusters Afterlife, just opened the tail end of last year, and his son, Jason Reitman, directed that. But he just a lot of different movies that was responsible for, and again, the interviews that I saw, he seemed like a very funny guy who absolutely loved what he did for a living. This is scary, and we've been talking about this now for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. But just so you know, getting you up to date on, is there going to be a war in the Ukraine or not? We had a lot of airlines that have canceled flights to the Ukrainian capital, and troops unloaded fresh shipments of weapons from NATO members this past weekend, trying to show confidence. And look, these are U.S. warnings are serious. There are over 130,000 Russian troops that have now been there on the border that are staging military exercises, is what they're saying at this point. But if they wanted to invade, they could invade. If this is a false flag op, which it certainly seems like it could be, and that's what our American intelligence says, that this is just one of multiple options that Russia is weighing as a false flag op, then if Putin decides we're doing it, we're there on the north, the east, and the south. If we want to do this, we're going to just jump right in here, and they'll cripple the Ukraine. And how many people in the Ukraine have the ability to just get out of there? In looking at the risks of all of this, including the Ukrainian economy, has to be just buckling under the weight of already the suggestion of war. So you've got a military cargo aircraft that had our Stinger and anti-aircraft missiles and ammunition from another NATO member that landed over the weekend to try to help the Ukrainian defenses against any attack, for example, by air. That's the anti-aircraft missiles. That's what they're for. So will they fend it off, though? That's the key thing. They got to be ready for anything and everything that could be thrown their way. I mean, the U.S. pretty much has not made public the evidence that they say are these specific warnings on possible Russian planning or timing, because we keep hearing it could just be a couple more days and they could invade, it could be, but there's never anything attributed to that. You just have to assume, because this is what it's being, this is where it's coming from, our intelligence forces are saying that. I mean, look, Russia has 6 amphibious assault ships in the Black Sea, right? I mean, they've got it covered from the air. They have it covered on the land. They've got it covered in the sea. They're covering all their bases. And what is the Ukrainian government doing? They're doing everything they can with their own weapons and the weapons that have been gifted to them from NATO people like the United States, as I mentioned. The U.S. pulled most of its staff from the embassy and urged all American citizens to leave the Ukraine immediately. And, of course, we have a presence in Europe to help with the eastern flank, NATO's eastern flank. And more of the army is shifting from Germany to Romania, where they've got a border with the Ukraine. So we would be very, very, very close should there need to be any kind of a reaction to this. But it reminds me of the Crimean Peninsula when Moscow annexed that area and backed a separatist insurgency in the eastern Ukraine, where the fighting has killed about 14,000 people. 14,000 people. So imagine a flush, full-on, in-your-face, we're here invasion. What would that look like? Pretty scary, I'd have to say. All right, coming up next, we are going into the man cave. What about the halftime show? What about some of the ads? One of the ads caused an app to crash. How'd that happen?
Hey,
Guys, why settle for poor quality Poudiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I'm going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave. Yeah, going to the man cave. Oh, yeah. Man cave, man cave, man cave, man cave, man cave. Man cave.
In the man cave. I read a book called Invade the Man Cave. You can get that on Amazon, by the way. It's got all kinds of sports. I was really tired of reading books that just had one particular sport or an encyclopedia that had a list of records and stuff. And they're good. Like the ESPN Almanac that comes out is excellent, but it doesn't really have the stories of various sports and history. So that's why I did the man cave thing. By the way, this is the man cave. Also, whoa, man, cave. And whoa, 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 did you watch the Super Bowl? The Rams led 13-10 at halftime, and they ended up winning this game 23-20. It was interesting. I think it was interesting, a football game. As somebody who's covered the sport, in, you know, I'm a content junkie. I've said that before. I have this other secret life. I call it the secret life. I've been doing this fantastic show and feel privileged to be behind this mic for 15 years, but I was also doing sports for NBC and CBS and had sports shows in New York and in Dallas, and feel very, very, very blessed to have really interview the people I did and got to cover things up close and personal, and it was fantastic, and it has been fantastic, this journey. But the journey for the Rams was a wild one. The journey for Cincinnati was a wild one because they hadn't been to the Super Bowl in 33 years. The Bengals are now 0-3 in Super Bowls, and there's so many people that were back in Joe Cool and the underdog Bengals because they really were slight underdogs. They were slight underdogs. I mean, look at the Rams' defense, which ultimately, I think, was a big part of how this unfolded the way that it did. I mean, half of Hollywood was there. They kept showing whoever was famous that was in the crowd, and Sean McVay, who had been to several Super Bowls and has been the coach of the Rams for 5 years, finally got the win that he wanted, a Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi Trophy, in their own stadium. So Super Bowl 56, the way that it all unfolded, again, was pretty interesting. Odell Beckham played a big part in this until he was injured. And then in the third quarter, the Rams' offense was definitely sputtering. But they managed to do what they had to do and have that final drive that put the nail in the coffin of the Cincinnati Bengals. Cooper Kupp was really that guy. He was the Super Bowl MVP. He had 8 catches for 92 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Matt Stafford, that is his security blanket. He was, and Coop was clutch in so many elements in those last couple of minutes of play. And Aaron Donald, the anchor of the defense, crushed Joe Burrow and the Bengals' hopes for a comeback with a sack with seconds remaining in regulation, where perhaps they could have gotten it up and at least had a chip shot and tied it, and, you know, who knows. But he stopped it. There was a fourth down and one situation, and he was all over Joe Burrow, so that was it. The Rams win this in their home turf. And the Bengals should hold their heads up high because they did an amazing job getting there. But when you say that, you get all the way to the big game and then you don't win it and you're so, so close. And then the momentum swings in a different direction. And, you know, that's it. Because there were definitely mistakes that were made. There were missed opportunities. I think there's missed opportunities on both sides of the ball. But it was close. And it was bread and butter, Stafford to Kupp, Stafford to Kupp, Stafford to Kupp, again and again and again, and the game-winning touchdown. And again, Aaron Donald slamming that door shut with the sack of Burrow, and he kind of strutted off the field. He was pointing to his ring finger, and this is the end of his career. So he wanted it bad, and when he was being interviewed, tears were just flowing, flowing. Halftime show, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem. The reaction has been mixed, which it always is, I think, for the halftime show, right? There was the 50 Cent pop in, which I thought he was good. I thought Mary J. Blige, who I haven't seen in a long time, her performance was good. I mean, they played their hits, the hits that some of us know. And this would be, as I'm a person that likes eclectic kind of music, I mean, everything from jazz. I have my grandfather's old jazz records, and I listen to them. And or modern jazz, to rock, to rap, to, you know, whatever, almost everything from A to Z. I just have an appreciation for music. I have seen some of these artists, and I thought it was well done the way they choreographed this and weaved it all to together. And it was definitely, I would say, probably without controversy, there was no wardrobe malfunction, right? So I'm going to say, from some perspectives where they could normally, where you could normally see a lot of criticism, you wouldn't get that, at least from this Super Bowl. I thought it was, again, well done, and it absolutely was what I think was advertised. You know, you were getting heavy rap from the past and people who had hit songs that represented a little bit of different decades, and that's what it was, you know, that's what it was supposed to be. It was an epic show performance that set social media on fire. On fire. So even from people that performed before, you know, that were throwing in their two cents, like NBA legend LeBron James, who said, "Oh my God, wow, 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 the greatest halftime show I've ever seen." He was there for Sunday's game at SoFi, as you can imagine. And then also new Philadelphia 76ers James Harden, who just was acquired in a trade. Best halftime show ever. You know, there were others. So U.S. women's soccer star Abby Wambach, same thing. Best halftime of all time. Teddy Bruschi, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots. He said it was electric, the atmosphere. He said, "If I were in the locker room, I'd seriously consider coming out for this halftime show." That's what he said. "I would come out. It was amazing." Bubba Wallace tweeted, "Damn, that was dope. 10 out of 10 Super Bowl after watching this show." He said it was amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So, yes, there would be some people that would say they didn't like it, but it wouldn't be a halftime of a Super Bowl, which is almost like a national holiday the next day for us because so many people call in sick, even if they're virtual, if people weren't complaining that they didn't like the halftime show. But there weren't any big mishaps anyway, like glaring mishaps that would be the reason for discussion. Like Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction, it still comes up, right? Still comes up. Yeah. Crazy. All right. Some other notes from the Super Bowl, some things that I thought were interesting. The, you know, we could talk about, if we just talked about the game itself, as I mentioned, in what happened at the tail end of the game and the Rams having to rally and then cut being such a big part of this. And for the Rams, it's their first Super Bowl in 22 years. So there was definitely some heat, I think, on the Rams. The Rams acquiring Stafford, who was with the Lions for 12 years that I mentioned at the top of the show, and trading away some big top draft picks to get him. And he completed 26 of 40 passes, 283 yards, a couple of picks. But then there was Cup, the guy who was the sure hands man that helped him big time in the game, and that's not surprising. In the L.A. defense, 7 sacks. The sacks were key. I said this heading into the game, that was going to be a problem for Joe Burrow, and it was a problem when perhaps they could have moved the chains more. He was sacked. So congratulations to the Los Angeles Rams for their 23-20 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.